to BitStorm, a comedy game design podcast by two guys who know nothing about comedy nor game design. I'm Trevor Scott, and with me, as always, is Ben Slinger.
That's right. Thank you for joining us. We're going to make some random video quames.
That is a reference that not a single person will get here except for me. No. That was a joke just for me.
Thank you, Trevor. We're going to do something a bit different that we haven't done in a while. We're big fans of Powerhoof.
Yes.
Video game company here in Australia, known for a number of games like Crawl and Regular Human Basketball. They've got the Drifter coming out very soon.
I've got a shirt of that, and I'm not wearing it at the moment, even though I should be. I can't.
It's all right.
We need to get in touch with Dave, yes, and get him onto the podcast.
That's because it. We had Barney on many years ago, his sort of counterpart.
And we had a really good chat with Barney we had a really good chat with Dave at PAX. And you know, he said, yeah, he'd be happy to come on board. And
for sure,
they've got their second, Power Jam happening, which is an adventure game jam.
Mm-hmm. One week, one womb. Single room adventure game, using Power Quest, which is their tool for Unity for building point-and-click adventure games.
Cool would it be if it was in Godot?
Yeah.
Which is our engine of choice at the moment. We've moved across to Godot from Unreal. Ben's making a 2D thing at the moment. I'm going through a few tutorials for 3D stuff, but let's jump back into Unity and think single room adventure game.
That's it. So I think we will, we'll still get some words, random words, but the theme of the jam is bucket exclamation yes. point. I don't know if the exclamation point needs to be brought into it, but it is there.
Yes. It's a very important exclamation point because it says it's a statement of a bucket.
That's it. It could make a big difference.
I mean, it's the difference between a bucket in the corner and a bucket in the center of the room that is, you know, front and center.
I mean, it could be a character called Bucket and they're being yelled at. So
they could continually say, it's bouquet.
That's it. It's a keeping up appearances point and click adventure.
Exactly. So 3, 2, 1, click.
Collapse.
Hyacinth. No, there's a hat. It's just a hat. I thought I'd do a little joke about keeping up appearances.
Okay, collapse, hat, and bucket. Immediately that makes me think-
A collapsible bucket.
Oh, okay. That could be good. Where I was going immediately was just a puzzle where you have to wear the bucket as a hat to protect yourself from something collapsing. But it could still be a collapsible bucket and still do that.
Yeah.
I like collapsible bucket. I think, like, what are some of the things in a point-and-click adventure game that you could do with a collapsible bucket? Obviously-
Well, a collapsible bucket you could actually put in your pocket.
Okay. Oh, so we have to- because it's a physically accurate inventory ladders down your pants in this game. Unless they're collapsible. No.
Unless they're collapsible, yeah. Of course. Like, what if everything in this room is collapsible?
Including the UI.
Including... Oh, fuck yeah.
You start going meta with it.
Okay, I was going to go outlandish with that, and I was going to go, including the room. But no, you said the UI, and I love the idea that the UI you can actually put in your inventory.
Well, what if... I do like going meta. I definitely like going a bit meta. I like the idea of clicking on something in the world and the icon, like the hand icon, for example. Yep. We'll see where it goes with that. Like gets stuck in it or something.
Yeah.
And then the character can see it.
Walks over like, to it, walks and, over they, to it they and grab grabs it. It.
And they've just got this giant, you know, foam hand, essentially.
And if they use it on any of the other things, they can basically grab and collapse it down into.
Oh, well, okay. Maybe where the collapse comes in then is, yes, that we go meta with the inventory as well. And the fact that in adventure games, you generally can just shove everything in your pocket. You can't do that until you've managed to essentially get the inventory icon into the game.
And when you collapse the inventory, so you can put it into the inventory container and then collapse that, and it gets sort of like, oh, feels like I've got a bucket on my in my pockets, but I, you know, can't I don't. You open up the inventory and it's like it's just a portable hole,
something like that. Yeah, I feel like there's definitely something in there with like the UI becoming extant in the world, existing into the world. At certain points, and maybe like the character talking to you.
Oh, I love the idea of you being able to get into the bucket, move the bucket into the inventory, and close the inventory, and that ends the game. But that's basically you're now floating through space, and you should not have done that, a la your Sierra parlance. Sierra,
yeah.
or something about
that. Maybe that's the win state. That's the point you have to get to.
I do kind of like the idea of going meta with this, because
what are our standard point and click adventure game icons then?
Walk icon,
a talk icon. So that's walk is often just like either a pair of legs or like a little stick
character
stick
that figure. Looks like it's walking. Yep.
So that could become a little robot or something in your world, or you can do something with that. It actually walks around. You can wind it up and set it off to go.
Yeah. There's an eye, which is literally just an eyeball.
you can't do anything with it. It just rolls around the whole game. Just leaving a trail.
It's got the optic nerve coming off the back of it, and it's like, ah! Any time that you go near it, like, the character just, you know, jumps back in disgust.
You've obviously got, like, usually a hand for using, or it could be a cog or something.
I like the idea of it's the finger. Like, you know, it's the Sierra finger.
Yeah.
Like, rather than it being a, you know, a splayed out hand. It's just
the finger. That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. Yeah. Talk. So talk is often either a little chat bubble or a pair of lips. Now, we've already done the gross flapping around thing.
Yeah. I think if talk disappears from there, your character is all of a sudden like,
they're completely mute
and they can't talk. Until they replace it up, there's now I can talk.
Well, I guess it depends on how it takes, because I like the idea of them essentially using the UI within the confines of this room to then, but to do the same things that you would do if you were clicking on them, essentially in some way.
Or they can throw their voice to that location.
Yeah, well, that's it. Maybe it has. Okay, because you could come up with some puzzles where it's like, okay, if you've got the icon in your actions bar, you can use it in the normal way. But if you find a way to get it into the world, then it's got a different use.
The use is now you can throw your voice.
Yeah, so now you can make your voice come from that.
Now, when we say throw your voice, as in you literally throw it?
Yes, you have to literally throw it where you want it to go. But I also like
now-
I like the idea of there being puzzles in there where you have to, like, later on you actually need to talk to someone, and so you have to figure out a way to get that back into the icon bar.
I see this as like it is a single room.
Yes.
And this room is like you've kind of been locked in what seems to be like a recording studio.
Sure.
With a bucket in the middle of the room.
Mm-hmm.
But so it means that basically you've got a single room, but there's like a sort of room that you can see through glass.
Okay. Yeah, well, what's...
So at some stage, you can actually get in there.
Yeah, and it's sort of like behind... You get in a door and then you're behind the glass. Like, it's still a single
screen. Effectively, I think it's more like a partition.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can't actually get through there because it's, like, bolted to the wall or something like that, or...
Yeah, or, I mean, it could just be, you know, that, yeah, you're looking through... Like, you can see in the foreground, you've got the recording studio and then the glass, and then you can see through the glass to behind it. Most of the game takes place in the foreground, but at some point, yeah, you need to go and get something that's in the background there to, you know, to continue the game.
So I think if you throw your voice over the top of the partition and it lands on the other side, you know, you can sort of...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Call out certain things from the other side, and maybe because it's closer to
maybe,
like,
maybe you have to, like, lock some, like, again, I think we're mixing up the geography of the room a little bit here, whatever. Like, I like the idea of a puzzle where, yeah, you have to throw it in there and then your character hides somewhere but is luring someone in there basically by making, making sounds.
You hide in the bucket. Like, I love the idea.
The bucket is very multi-use in this, because the other thing I was thinking is that you could put the voice box thing in the bucket to amplify voice in some way at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe the goal of this is that you are a musician and you are late on delivering your latest hit song, and your manager has locked you into this recording studio until you deliver. And so the aim of this is you must either deliver a song or escape, I guess. Could be the-
So, what I love is there's a note, and you read the note, and it says, I have given you two things. Well, three things. This note, a bottle of water, and this slop bucket.
Yeah, there you go. Collapsible basically, slop bucket.
But be very careful because it collapses. Yeah. You don't want to get it everywhere.
Don't collapse it after use.
But the idea is that, you know, yes, it may be collapsible, but it's also expandable. Like, you can...
Yeah, like being able to just... You can, it's basically infinitely collapsible on that one axis sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like that. And then I feel like, where does the use, do we have any explanation for the meta stuff of now these, like, UI elements are making their way in there, or are you just on fucking LSD?
He's been locked in this room for a long freaking time, and you come in and he's sort of waking up, and, you know, he sort of picks up the drink bowl, has a drink, reads the note,
and, well, maybe it's not,
and starts
maybe
it's hallucinating, not, or something like that.
Maybe it's not that there's a note then. Maybe it's that the first scene is your manager
over the loudspeaker.
Your manager at the door. Oh, yeah, over the loudspeaker's like, I've just cleaned out your slop bucket. It's like there at the door, like... You know, you've been here a week. Like, what are you doing? Deliver the song. I'm not letting you
just
out.
Just sing the song. Like,
you need to write this thing and get it recorded.
And so, yeah, I think I love the idea of your character is just literally going stir crazy.
Mm.
And then, you know, I love the idea of the Sierra style things at the start. And then maybe at one stage you can... you know, pick up your notepad and you see down the bottom, like, there's a verb and you can pick that off and that now becomes a verb down the bottom and you've now got, like...
maybe. I don't know if we should, like, mix the styles or even use
there's
one or the other.
About
but
that, though.
But
I, like
I do I do very much like the idea of you drawing a new icon.
Yeah.
That you then manage to, like, pass up and stick into the verb bar or into the icon bar, and then you as the player can use that to do something different, like that the character itself can't do. You know, maybe it's even like a inventory item or something, just draws a key And then you just drag that onto the door and it's like, oh, yeah, that worked. Or something, yeah.
Or it's a settings menu. what I really want to play with, though, is also the fact that in an adventure game, you see it from a third-person view or whatever it is. Yes. If your character or the ego or whatever you know, whatever they actually call it, in Sierra parlance, it was the id, you can actually say, I can't reach that key. In fact, I don't even know how I knew there was a key there or something like that, you know, calling out the fact that although you can see it behind the partition, because I'm imagining the partition is say on the left side of the screen, you can see something in there. It's like, I don't know how I knew, but there's a key there. And I cannot get there because there's a partition in the way.
Either that or you do it in the way of having some almost conversation, like the character talks to you as the player.
Yeah.
It's like, I can hear you clicking over there, but I can't see over this partition. I have no idea what you're trying to do, you know?
Yeah, there's something fun that you could do with that. And maybe finally you can get him to pick up the eye and throw it over. It's like, I can just see the eye.
I was just thinking that. I wonder actually if the eye is, he starts being able to see whatever the eye is, wherever it goes.
Oh, and then you can throw the hand over there and you can actually get it to move across and pick it up. Like,
so what do you think the mechanism-
Tie it on a string or something like that.
What do you think the mechanism is for getting the icons into the world? Is it just like you- is there a-
Well, I think-
Because I don't what, think what happens is, be that is you click anywhere.
You extend the bucket up and it knocks the hand off the UI bar.
Okay.
There's just something about that is the catalyst.
I do like the bucket doing it. Yeah. I think you'd obviously have to script it in a way. Like you only want to be giving one of these at a time and then to telling the story through that essentially.
Yeah.
How do you as the player tell them to do stuff with the hand if you now no longer have a hand icon? Do you have to only use the other, like you have to tell them to, like they'll walk somewhere and it'll like be sort of somewhat context sensitive or what do you reckon?
I think it then becomes like an inventory puzzle of use hand on such and such because you literally got a hand.
But I feel like the hand shouldn't be in your inventory and you no longer have it.
And you can-
Well, yeah, the player has it, but like the character has it, but how do you as the player tell them to use it on something? Because you don't have an icon for that.
You don't need an icon because remember in Sierra games, you had the inventory icon and you can pick it up and use it on something. Like you can actually click that icon on something.
You still had it as sort of a separate icon then.
Yeah.
Whereas-
So what it then becomes is like, you actually see him holding the big foam finger and he walks across and he just pokes the thing. Or if he can't reach it, he throws it.
So are you saying though that do you also have like, okay, you pitch, you've got the character is on the screen holding
it's just a normal cursor.
Then it goes back to just an arrow. Like an arrow pointer, you reckon?
It's basically a broken Windows. You know, it doesn't have the dedicated cursor that you'd normally be expecting, which is the finger.
Right.
It's now gone back to a standard Windows pointer, okay. Or even just a dot.
Maybe. All right. Maybe. I feel like you could write it in a way where you had to use the other ones to solve it in some way.
It's like use is the only thing that you can.
No, like you get him to look at something, and by looking at it, like maybe he'd start, or he starts talking to you, and he says, like, oh, do you want me to go over and do something with that? And you like say yes, and they'll do it.
No, you got to have a conversation with it then.
Well, maybe.
Because that's a conversation tree. That's not a looking tree.
Well, but when you look at stuff. Maybe you're having to like hack it a bit because sometimes when you look at stuff in adventure games, you definitely get a response.
Do you want a little closer?
Do you want me to look at it by touching it with the hand? And anyway, I think it could get very complicated, but I love the idea of of the yeah. It's a little bit of what was that? There is no game. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
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 Elements of that. That was good fun. But yeah. All right. That was cool. Let's do another though.
3 draw, 1 click. That was not bad.
I liked it.
15 minutes out on that one. Yeah. So
it's good.
Okay. Visit.
Knock.
Ooh. I'm feeling a very Red Riding Hood.
Oh, okay. Fairy tale-ish.
Or is this a Jack and Jill or something like that? Because,
or is it like a horror sort of thing? Like you could go a horror way, or you could combine them, like a really horrific, a horror fairy tale. Do you play?
I mean, the single room is like literally it's just a cottage.
It's a cottage. You play grandma waiting for Red Riding Hood to show up, and people keep knocking at the door, and it's never Red Riding Hood. And eventually it's the wolf.
And the first, like, the grandma isn't just the grandma to Red Riding Hood, also the grandma of Jack and Jill.
Other grandkids, yeah.
And, you know, she's just sent them to fetch a pail of water or a bucket of water, and she's now awaiting that as well.
Right, yeah. So the first knock at the door is Jill being like, Jack's bleeding everywhere. He fell down the hill. Come quickly.
She goes, I can't leave. I'm under house arrest. And she's got like-
She's got an ankle monitor.
Exactly.
You know I'm under house arrest. I can't leave the house. Go and get the woodsman.
Here's his phone number.
It's got hearts
on it.
Here's
a mobile phone.
She's definitely doing the woodsman.
She looks at a photo and there's like, the typical heart.
Oh, yeah.
Heart there. And there's a tree there, you know. G loves, loves H.
She calls herself.
Grandma loves Huntsman. A GM heart, HM. Grandma loves Huntsman.
Woodsman, wasn't it? Or whatever.
I don't know. I'm literally picturing that you don't see Huntsman all the way through it and it's a big fucking spider.
Yeah. We did that last week though.
I know.
I had to
bring it back.
I like that a lot. The different she's grandma to like all of the fairy tale or all the nursery rhyme.
It turns out that there is only one grandma.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh Goldilocks.
Goldilocks, you stumbled into the wrong house again.
This isn't your home. This is Grandma's home.
Yeah, you just find Goldilocks.
Stop stealing my porridge, you little cunt. I don't care if it's just right.
She's
my cereal box.
She's definitely a grouch. It's just right. It's a type of cereal. Is that what you're going for? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I know it's just right. It says it on the box. Now. Fuck off.
That, go away.
Go back to your own house. Eat me out of house and home. Little Miss
Muffet
comes along.
As she goes to walk outside, I just love the idea as she goes to walk outside and it starts beeping. It's like, oh, fucking.
Yeah, definitely. Like you can click at any time to leave, but you start hearing the beeping and she comes back. I love that.
But maybe that is one of, like, when the wolf actually turns up. Because we know that's going to happen at some stage.
Of course.
One of the things that you do early on is if you go outside like three times, you know.
You get a knock at the door.
They actually send someone.
Cops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like your parole officer or something.
And they say, you know, they say if you go out one more time, you know, if this goes off one more time, we're going to arrest you.
Yeah. And so that's
take you away. And so now you know, okay, now that the wolf has barricaded the door, you've got to get outside somehow.
Mm.
Set this alarm off somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chop your leg off and throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Saw style. Like,
I kind of like the idea that, you know, the bucket is actually there from Jack and Jill, because obviously we need the bucket, and there's like, you know, a blood stain in the corner and all this other stuff. And
yeah, Jill brought the bucket for sure. It didn't have water in it. Or a little bit at the bottom, but
There's a hole in the bucket.
Dear Eliza.
Yeah.
is that your name? Your name's Eliza.
Exactly. Because, you know, she killed, well, she Grandma didn't kill her husband, you know.
I mean, it's Mother Goose nursery rhyme. It's probably got some death in it. It's pretty, you know.
Probably does. Oh, okay. Mother Goose, that's, you know, that's leftovers in the fridge.
Got some of these goose left.
It's a boiled goose.
She's laid her last egg. wasn't a golden egg either.
It was kind of rotten. I just love the idea that this grandma is sweary as all fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, she's yeah. She's definitely one of those types of grandmas. I'm just thinking about, like, there's a whole thing with, like, all the Jacks. Like, you've got Jack and the Beanstalk. You got Jack the Nimble. Is there another? Well, you got Jack and Jill.
Jack Horner.
Little Jack Horner. Sit in the corner.
Sat in the corner.
Yeah. So, there's definitely a line in there about how her kids keep fucking naming their kids Jack. She's got all these grandkids called Jack.
Mary. Fucking. You know. There's like five Jills.
Yeah.
Well, which one are you? Oh, you're the one that broke their crown.
Which Jack is your brother? Oh, fuck. The one who's always eating plums.
Oh, God. There's just something fun about, like, nursery rhymes and then them over and just twisting it in the worst way.
You could- obviously- I like this one a lot. Like, you could- Particularly for a one-room thing, and, like, essentially everyone who knocks at the door brings something else that you can then, like, you're just trying to fucking make your dinner or something, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, boil yourself a cup of tea, but then you keep getting interrupted by new knocks at the door, but then they bring something else that lets you progress.
And every time you go back, it's like, oh, now the tea's cold. It's only good for, you know, the first 45 seconds after I make it.
Yeah, that's right.
So then she's got to boil the water again. And so she calls out and calls Jill and go, can you fetch me some more water?
You keep on
handing her the bucket. There we go. It's like,
yep.
And it comes back with more blood and more blood.
What is she doing every time? Jack keeps falling down.
Jack and Jill keep on falling down because the well's at the top of the hill.
It's like, no, but does she keep dragging her, like, comatose brother up the hill and then throwing him down again?
He's really not in the good way.
They have to follow the nursery rhyme.
I need my coffee.
It goes, Jack and Jill went up the hill. Jack, you've got to come with me. Okay.
Jill keeps on forgetting to come tumbling after.
Well, she comes tumbling just fine. He's the one who breaks his crown every time. He's just got dents in his forehead every time he hits this rock at the bottom.
I just love the idea of you only hear this from Jill.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just saying, it's really not good. I see grey matter.
Start the nursery over, Jill. I need more water for my tea.
Oh, it's just gone cold. Come on. And she throws it out again. Get me some more fucking water.
My brother. You're killing him. Cool. So do one more really quick one.
Yeah. Okay. This is Adventure Games done really fucking quick.
Really fucking quick. All right. So which one click? Radio.
Giving.
Okay. So it's Christmas. It's Christmas morning. Set around the Christmas tree.
Well, I was thinking Thanksgiving, radio giving, you know, this is like-
Oh, right. That well-known holiday, radio giving.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a house where everyone are radio announcers, and so
they gift each other radios.
They gift each other radios. They give thanks to the concept of radio waves and the ability to send voice over radio.
And the radio that you've received is basically a bucket.
Just like put your ear up.
We need to bring
it.
Bucket in here. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. It's a new style of bucket radio. You just put this on here as the antenna.
You put it on your head. upside down so that you know, it goes into your ear holes and
it's got a hole. You know, in both
it's a sensory deprivation bucket.
Sensory deprivation bucket, so you can listen to the radio more effectively.
Okay. Now the question is: in this game, do you play
the bucket,
the receiver, or the giver,
or do you play like the matriarch of this family, just trying to like hold the dinner together?
I don't know.
If
you got someone to put a bucket on their head, you could do shit around and, you know, sneakily steal stuff out of their wallet and all this sort of stuff, and they wouldn't know because they can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like all you got to do is, you know, do the puzzle to get them to put the bucket on their head.
Okay, maybe then. Moving away from everyone's radio announcers, maybe it's more that there's like one member of the family who is like super paranoid about radio waves and like the 5G and the whatever, you know. One of the puzzles essentially is you convince them that this bucket blocks radio waves, and so they put it on. They would just end up wearing it the whole.
It's literally just a wooden bucket, though. Like, it's one of the typical buckets that you expect from a fairy tale of it's wooden pails, yeah. And it is
like a rope handle.
Rope handle, and it's leaky as fuck. Like,
oh yeah, you can see their eye through it. Like, they can see it through one. It's like classic, like there's a hole in one of the, you know, between one of the things.
And then, you know, one of the jokes is he gets and puts it on his head and goes, "Oh, there's a hole in my bucket, dear Eliza." And
you realize just it's the smack same in the face. Grandma when she was a kid, and she's one of the kids at the dinner. It's all tied in together. This is a whole multiverse that we've created.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like this. I love the idea of a sensory deprivation bucket that has a hole in it so that they can actually
STB.
Not be deprivated until they turn it around.
Maybe this character actually just shows up with the bucket on their head. Like, that's just their character. Because they,
oh, maybe the single adventure game is to get them to come out of the bucket.
To come out of the bucket, yeah.
This is an intervention.
It's an intervention for Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam, that's a weird one to use for the symbol of America. But fine, Uncle Samuel, who is super paranoid and has shown up to Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, a family dinner with this bucket, with his sensory deprivation bucket. But it's actually a very sensitive topic and an intervention. Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't gone here at all, but it's like, can we just do a very quick one where someone turns up to the party with a bucket of KFC?
Hey, KFC, pay us and we'll make you a tie-in game in a week. There's
something about an adventure game that the only thing that you can do is use chicken on something.
Chicken, your hammer when everything is a nail.
I don't know why, but that just tickled me in all the right ways. Like, just the idea of you've got this never-ending bucket of
just original recipe,
just chicken drumsticks, yep. And you pick it out, and it's like, use chicken on this. It's like, oh, the cat really enjoys the chicken. Okay, great.
Great. Use chicken on door handle. Oh, greased it up. Now it opens.
Now the door doesn't squeak. Yeah. Oh, the handle's all greasy.
One way, well, there's a bad ending for the Uncle Samuel one, though, is when you try to kick the bucket. Because, of course, you have to have a kick the bucket verb. And, yeah, he just dies straight away. It's very sad.
His neck just goes, you know, 90 degrees.
Yeah, we actually just, like, lasso tool, rotate.
He just has a flip-top head now.
Well, neck. Anyway, yeah.
Flip-top neck, yeah.
All right, I think let's leave it there. we're not going to make any of these games. You can if you like. Go and check
especially
out
the KFC Jam. One. Like that, I want to see a bucket of chicken. I think the idea of the only verb you have is use chicken on.
Yeah, that can be the name of the game.
That use would be an amazing on. Game. I mean, it's the name of this episode. Use chicken.
It
on.
It is now that you said it. It has to be. Well, and you're editing it, so you get to come up with
use
it.
Use chicken on ..
Yeah,
that's the name of the episode.
Perfect.
You know that
those listening you'll do because you've already clicked on it.
You would have been listening to the whole episode and you go,
and where's the chicken?
Where's this reference from?
Where's the chicken coming from? They keep talking about fucking fairy tales. That's it. Use chicken
there
on.
There you go. Use chicken on.
If you would like to find our previous episodes, go to podchaser.com/bitstorm. They're all up there for your listening pleasure.
If you like the song that we play at the start and end of each episode, that song is called Mount Defiance off the album Container with Value, and it can be found at kuridos.bandcamp.com for free.
That's right. So thank you again for joining us this week on Bitstorm. I'm Ben Slinger.
I'm Trevor Scott.
And I'm Grandma, motherfucker.